sun is gonna follow you.
Thought we'd smack you in between the eyeballs right off the bat this morning. Is that okay? Have a seat for just a second, because I want to talk to the Lord together. Is that cool? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to come take over. God, we get ourselves out of the way right here, right now, and we ask that Your Spirit pour into this place like never before. God, that You would open ears and eyes that we may see and hear You clearly. And God, we just declare that You are God above every circumstance, every heartache, every trouble. And God, Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. We bless Your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Integrity. Do you notice anything different about me? No, I'm not Bud Wren. But I am Stephen Potts, and it's good to have you this morning. We're so thrilled that you're here. Everybody take a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Take it out. Everybody, one, two, three, pull it out, wave it. These are your church fans this morning because it's so hot. fill it out in its entirety, whether you're a first-time guest or whether you've been here 50 years. I don't care. Fill it out right now and put it in one of the offering boxes on your way out today. We're so thrilled that you're here. And, man, thank you so much for those of you who were able to come out Friday night to Musical Chairs at the City Park. We just had a blast, and there was a great, great crowd there. And, once again, we were able to take the church outside the walls and had a great time. And I shared some jokes because it was so hot Friday night, 95 degrees, and we were just, like, sweating for Jesus. And so I Googled some jokes. I'm a horrible joke teller, so I had to pump some in here on my phone. It's so hot outside that chickens are laying fried eggs. I love your delayed reactions. It's so hot outside that Satan decided to take a day off. Moving on. It's so hot outside you're having hot flashes and you're a man. It's so hot outside, I saw two trees fighting over a dog. You guys are so delayed this morning. Some of you, you'll get it after lunch today, after your naps. We want to make sure that you draw attention to your what's up. Everybody got what's up? This could be your second fan. What's up? Be sure to read what's going on. We got a lot going on through the summertime, including this Wednesday. We're going to have a time of prayer, eating, my favorite part, and fellowship. And so if you want to participate in that, be sure that you mark 3W on your Connect card so that we can have a head count so we can feed you. All right? And we have a very special guest this morning. Come on up. And just made a new friend this morning. I want everyone in here to give a good, warm, Integrity welcome to Miss Becky Plinka. La Ola de Jalisco Casa Hogar. Necesito correct. Practicar mi español porque no tengo amigos que habla español. Do you even understand what I'm saying right now? This is Miss Becky Plinka. Welcome this morning.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I told the earlier service, it's just like Wow, I didn't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this. You have an awesome church, awesome people, and I'm just very privileged to be here today. And the music is so incredible. These musicians, oh my goodness, I just look like regular guys, and they're back there jamming. I just love it. I just want to share with you about what Laola is. Laola means the wave, and we are the wave of God's glory that's going over Mexico. That's who we are. And we have a home for 19 children down in Ixhuacan, which is right outside of Guadalajara. It's on the map here. It's the little red dot down middle Mexico. And we were called into missions about 5 years ago, but we've been down there about 2 years, and we started taking our children 1 year ago. We have children from age 2 to 17, 15 girls and 4 boys. This is the view off our front porch. I mean, we have a beautiful view, beautiful flowers there. It's a beautiful place with a lot of need. In Guadalajara, there is about 50,000 street children estimated that live on the street that really have no parents. They're abandoned, abused children in every way. Nearly all our children, except for one, has been sexually abused. They have a lot of problems, but they are really, God is healing them one by one every day. And we believe in what God can do. We have a little girl. Her picture will be here. This is Millie. She came to us. She couldn't walk. She had a club foot. And we believe God has healed her. She's running everywhere and is doing wonderful. She came with a group of 4. A little boy named Chewy. Her brother couldn't talk. And now he is talking. God can do wonderful, miraculous thing with a little love and food. It's changed these kids' lives. This is Roberto. He is an indigenous boy. From his family were Indians, and they just were too poor to keep him. He has 2 sisters. He actually has 4 sisters, and we have 3 of the 5 children. The parents brought them to us, and they just couldn't afford to feed them. They were living on the street. This is Lupita. She was sold for $800. She is doing wonderful in the home, and she is going to be working as a learning to be a nurse's aide. There's about 30,000 American and Canadians that live in Chapala that's down the road from us. So there is opportunity that they can get jobs. This is Angeles. She was used by her parents to sell cocaine in different places. She was a pickpocket and stole purses. And now she is never been to school. She had never been to school, but now she's reading on a 5th grade level, and she's our best English student. She is a beautiful, wonderful girl. She also has burns on her legs where she tipped over some alcohol where her parents were making drugs. And so her whole leg is burned in her arm. And so she has, we tried to get them to fix, get her scars fixed. But they said that since she had range of motion of her knee, they wouldn't fix them. But she is a beautiful girl. She's a beautiful girl. My daughter is the center person, and she's doing a dance class. Abby was never professionally trained. God just brought this gift out of her. And she's this amazing dancer, and she also teaches dance. I write plays, and she choreographs the dance to worship. And we are going to be doing a worship play, and we're going to be taking these kids to a lot of different places to perform. God just gave us this idea that we would be performing all over Mexico. We want to do something different. We want to show the world that, yes, these kids came from a terrible place, but God's healed them, and look at them now. We want to be a testimony everywhere we go. And so this is one of our dorm rooms. We have actually about 9 girls in this one room with a staff member. This is Jocelyn. Her and her sister came. Their mother was killed, and the family kicked them out. Or uncles and aunts kicked them out, took their home, threw their stuff out in the yard and in the backyard, but nevertheless out in the yard, and put them out. They had nowhere to go. Their father had been abusing them since they were 8 years old. And so when we get these children, they come with a lot of baggage. This is my daughter. She's teaching. I think she's teaching English in this class. Another thing about Abby, not to be bragging because she's my daughter, but she prayed for God to teach her music. She's learning to play the piano. She asked for a voice, and she has a beautiful voice. And so all God is just using her greatly. This is Joanna. She's been in homes for 10 years, and all her siblings are in different homes. And we try to coordinate and bring her to visit her brothers. We've brought her sister out of another home that had 450 kids, and we brought her in for the weekend and let her spend it with her sister. Anna Karen is one of our most special children. She was sold on the street since she was 6 years old. She has track marks. We have her in therapy now with horses and animals, and she's really taken a turn, and she's beginning to become more loving toward the other children and toward us, and God is healing her. Carlos has been in home since he's about 1 to 2 years old. His parents are dead. We get children from drug cartels. We get them where people have just totally abandoned them and went to the states or just went to another state. There's about an estimated 50,000 street children near us. This is one of our board members. You'll be hearing from him. This is Don, and Don is a crazy guy, and he is taking over all our PR. So whoever does missions here, you may be talking to Don. He's a lot of fun. And he loves these kids, and he has given most of his money to help these kids. He is just, we didn't ask him to. He just showed up and started working. So he loves the Lord. He loves these kids. He's retired down there, and you'll be talking to him. This is our dining room with some of our children. This is out on our front patio. This house has two big front patios, and it's large enough to, like, get groups and sing and play instruments, and the kids will dance on these big patios. This is my daughter, and this is Yezkara, Yessie, we call her. And she, I was talking to Stephen this morning. How can you help? Well, these are some of the ways. And I also want to add that, we really need your prayers. Please put us on your intercessory prayer list and really, truly pray for Loola because, you know, we deal with major issues every day with these kids. It's not just, a lot of things are not just little things. We had one child choke another child. there's a lot of things we're going through every day. And so we need your prayers. You know, where we live is a very difficult place. We've had to really work with the government. They're very difficult to work with. And so it's been really a tough thing. And this is our website where we are always putting stories about the kids and changing the stories. You can go there. You can send us letters. And just we're just happy that you would have us here. And we just thank you for letting us come and for Pat sharing about us. Like I said, we're new, and we just need Christians to stand by us, share our vision, and just love these kids. And we hope to, our long-term goal is to have a ranch for children because we have visited so many homes for children that were like literally prisons. Some of them 450 to 2,000 kids in one place. And they were absolutely terrible. So we want to do something that really shows the glory of God in excellence where these children are changed forever. And they help to make a newer and better laws in the future for the children of Mexico.
Yes. And it's so great to hear your heart on this. And, you know, Rick Warren always says, pay attention to what makes you cry because that's what you should be doing. And God has positioned you and your husband, Bob, in Mexico in Loyola Orphanage to lead the way for these kids. And I know these kids are really close and dear to you guys' heart. And we certainly want to pray for you. And I'm going to go ahead and ask Mike Ward and maybe some of our elders. We have elders in here that could come up and pray for Becky and Bob. And we'll call Bob up here as well. And we certainly would love to partner with Loyola. And I think that we're going to be hearing a little bit more about that in the future.
I just want to offer one more thing. There's on the list, you know, there was a for volunteers, children's clothing, that we can work out ways to get children's clothing down there through people going back and forth. But I also want, what God has put on my heart is those that are called into missions can have a place to come and learn how to be a missionary, see what it's about, see how the work that goes into it. And the cost will just be your plane ticket down. We'll take care of you. But I wanted to offer this to, like, college students or students that are over 16, 17 years old, 16 and up, that you, if you really feel called, led, and you're, you know, you're very responsible, then, you know, we want it to be a place where you can experience God in a foreign country.
Before we pray, Becky, I want to give you and Bob a little token. Not a token, it's a check for $200. And this will be quarterly that the church is going to be sending you through our missions offering. And this is all these folks out here. All right, let's lay hands on these folks and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for Bob and Becky for their courage and their vision and their strength as they go through with their mission in life, Father. Father, we ask you to put a hedge of protection around them, around the children, and around the workers in the orphanage. And Father, let's open our hearts and open our minds to this great organization and let us support them completely. Father, I ask all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, and everybody, all of God's people said, Amen.
I could just keep going, but you're going to hear a word from Pastor Todd Felkel this morning.
All right. Thank you for that. It's good to be able to share with you this morning. Great time of worship this morning. Thank God for that. It's great to be a part of what God's doing here at Integrity. I'm glad just to have a part of that, and you are too. And I tell you, we've been in an exciting series of messages on the Gospel of John. And I don't know if you realize or not, but we've been in the Gospel of John here at Integrity for weeks and months, learning about Jesus, learning about this great adventure we have when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. This has been a wonderful thing. I hope you've enjoyed this series. And I'm bringing it to an end this morning. And I'm going to share with you a message called A Call to Authenticity. Okay? And it's in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 25. You can follow with me there, or you can take the outline in your What's Up this morning and follow with me there. But we see what's happening here right at the end of the Gospel of John is that Jesus is having a conversation with Peter. And Jesus says, Peter, come follow me. And then it's like Peter said, well, okay, but what about John over here? And Jesus says, you don't worry about John. You follow me. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is what does all that mean? And because what happens sometimes is we get caught in a trap, and I believe Peter got caught in this trap for a little bit here with John, is comparing himself with someone else, comparing himself with John. When we begin to compare ourselves with other people, it can cause all kinds of problems in our life. And I want to talk to you this morning about resisting the temptation of comparing yourself with others in an unhealthy way. All right? Let me share with you a few things that maybe you've thought of or you've said yourself. And have you ever said this or maybe at least thought it? I wish I could be like them. Okay? Or I'm glad I'm not like them. Okay? That's maybe a contrast there, but similar. Or I'm glad I'm better than they are. Or at least I'm not like them. Okay? The problem is they're not the standard Jesus is, right? Or how about this? I could never live up to be like them. That could be tough. But when we begin to compare ourselves, all kind of problems take place. Number one is that you ignore God's goodness in your own life. That's what happens when we compare ourselves with others. Is we forget what God's done for us, and we ignore all the good things about who we are, who God's made us to be. And you begin to think that you don't deserve God's love and grace and goodness. One of the great things that I found out about God is that when I came to Him and trusted Him to forgive me of my sins, He rid me of all that guilt and shame of the past. And sometimes when we compare ourselves with others, we think that we don't deserve God's love, deserve God's grace, deserve His mercy. And the truth is that you're right, you don't. In fact, none of us do. We're all saved from that same pit of sin. We're equal in Christ. And that's the amazing thing about God is that He's so good. So the thing about it is that we've got to realize that it's not what kind of sinner we are, but what kind of Savior He is. That's what it's all about. We just have to look to God and be thankful for all the goodness that He gives towards us. He's not fair because He's too good to us, right? So not only do we ignore God's goodness in our own life, but we begin to resent God's goodness in other people's lives. And we can't be happy and celebrate what other people, what God's doing in their life, okay? So, or sometimes you might think that you deserve more than what someone else has in your life. Another thing about comparing yourself with others is that it's relationally unattractive. When you have no confidence in who God has created you to be, and you lack that confidence, not in self, but confidence in God and who He's made you to be, and what God wants for your life, then it's hard to be around people like that. Have you noticed that? Is that it's just hard to relate to them, and it's, they keep you at emotional arm's length, and it's just relationally unattractive. And those people that do have a confidence in who they are, who God's made them to be, you know, a healthy confidence, then we just enjoy. We like being around people like that, don't we? Another thing that comparing yourself to others, another problem it causes is it causes struggles with insecurities. Very insecure about self, and it causes a lack of confidence in who God created you to be. And when you are very insecure, maybe it's because you're comparing yourself with someone else or something else, and unrealistic expectation, and you've got to be thankful for who God made you to be. Number five is that you suffer from stress and burnout and the need to perform. Have you discovered that when you compare yourself with others? That you struggle with the ability to, it's like unhealthy expectations. It's like God created me to do some things that you can't do, but God's created you to do some things that I can't do, right? Yeah. But when we compare ourselves with others, it's hard to figure all that out, and we've got to know our boundaries and just be thankful for who God created us to be. So it can cause all kind of anxiety and stress. In fact, when comparing yourself with others is that it takes a tremendous energy to pretend to be somebody you're not. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, tremendous energy. And you try to live up to be like someone else when God has something else for you, and then you just get caught up in this trap, and it can become a very painful thing. And number six is life can become painful when you begin to compare yourself with others. Because you fall into wearing a mask and pretending to be somebody you're not, and you're not confident in God and who He made you to be, and it can cause jealousy, and it can cause envy, and not only do you resent God's goodness in others, but you want to take away from them what they've got, because you feel like you deserve it more than they do, and it can lead to stealing and killing and lying and cheating and all kind of things in life, and coveting what others have, and it can cause you to be selfish and short-sighted. But really, ultimately, number seven, ultimately you miss God's unique purpose for you. Yeah. when you ignore God's goodness and when you begin to compare yourself to others. You lose focus. You lose clarity. You lose meaning and direction. And you don't feel loved and accepted. But when you focus on Christ and what He has for you, you begin to have all these things. Proverbs 14:30 sums it up this way. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. See, this comparing yourself with others can become a cancer that can eat you from the inside out and destroy your life, and you miss God's purpose for your life. But if you're at peace with God and you're at peace with yourself, boy, it just leads to all kind of life and goodness, and you begin to enjoy life the way God intended it to. Who do you compare yourself to? Is there someone in particular that you just seem to have a struggle with comparing yourself to? And we all have people that we like to compare ourselves to when we're younger, when we're children. You know, we like to be like so-and-so when we grow up, but eventually we grow up, but we still compare ourselves with others. And with all the images that are out there in our world today that we see on TV and, you know, the visual images that we see in so many places, is that we put unhealthy, unrealistic expectations on our life, and we miss God's purpose. And you need to focus on God's purpose, God's plan, and you need to be the unique, authentic you that God created you to be. And that's what I want to really talk to you about. How do you do all that? Well, first of all, like I've been sharing with you, you resist comparing yourself to others. I like 2 Corinthians 10:12 when it says there, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves. Galatians 6:4 says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. So just resist that temptation. Well, how do you resist that temptation? Well, number 2 talks about that when it says here, realize you are accepted by the one who matters most. And you need to celebrate that fact in your life. When you realize that you are accepted just the way you are by the one who matters most, we know who that is, right? That's God. That's Jesus. When you realize that fact right there, and it becomes a reality in your life, then it doesn't matter who else accepts you. Because you're just thankful that you're accepted by the one who matters most. Celebrate it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says it this way. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. I want you to circle high price. And you know it's right there. So you must honor God with your body. Don't you just love that verse? If you struggle with acceptance issues and being a people pleaser, and if you struggle with comparing yourself with others, and you really struggle with this whole idea of does God really love and accept you just the way you are, then you need to memorize 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and you just need to take a good look at the cross and what Jesus did for you. When Jesus died on the cross, He was saying, I love you this much, I value you this much. When we saw those pictures of those children at the orphanage, and, you know, they are just as valuable as we are. You are just as valuable as I am. I am just as valuable as you are. We're all equal in Christ Jesus. Just the simple fact that someone exists means they have value. Yeah. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die on the cross for your pet dog or your pet cat, although they have value too. He died for people. For me and you, sometimes we put value, the wrong value. We get misplaced values on things sometimes. And sometimes people love and care more for other things than even their own self and what God wants you to do. And you got to be careful how you get all that mixed up. But it's very important to know who you are in Christ. Yeah. I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chiefest among sinners. And the Bible says that we're sinners saved by grace, right? And we all are. Every single one of us are sinners saved by grace. But if that's all you ever see yourself as, that's all you'll ever be. There's more. I'm telling you, there's more. And we've sung about it this morning. We're overcomers in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And it's all, you just got to get in the Bible, get in the Word, and learn the Word, and learn what God says about those of us who are in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ, living in Him, then God just does some amazing things in your life. So be confident, not just in yourself, but in who you are. Not putting no confidence in self or things or someone else or something else, but putting confidence, putting your hope, your trust in God. And celebrate it. Number three, recognize your own uniqueness. Psalm 139, 13 through 18. I want to read this to you. And some of you need to mark this in your Bible, and you need to go home today, and you need to go to the bathroom, get in front of the mirror. Nobody else is around. You just need to get naked, and you need to read. Hold on now. And you just read Psalm 139, 13 through 18. And here it goes. Okay. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Some more complex than others, but that's a wonderful thing, right? It's a wonderful thing. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And we need to know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. And you need to memorize that. You need to recognize how unique God made you. Any of you that are parents and have more than one child, you know that God's made each of us unique. Because each child has a unique personality. They're a unique person. Even twins, you know, even identical twins, there's something unique about every person in life. You know, when you sit back and just think about all the people throughout all history, you know, that God has ever made, you know, all people, you know, no one person has ever been the same as another. That just kind of blows my mind. You know, I'm kind of getting deep here now, but you can know you're unique, number one, because the Bible says so. You can just tell it by looking around you a little bit. And just the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you and God tells you that he loves you, you can know that you are unique and accepted by God. And you don't need to compare yourself to others. And let me just say that this reduces rivalry and especially family relationships. Let me just say something about this for a moment. Listen closely now. I want you to just listen closely to this. That, you know, if you have like more than one child and you begin to compare your children to one another, you're going to cause all kind of problems, relational problems, rivalry, jealousy, and envy in your family relationships when they grow up. And you're going to produce a cycle of rivalry in your family relationship for years. And maybe you struggle with this with your own siblings. I don't know, even as an adult. But we can compare ourselves sometimes. That's an unhealthy thing. That's not a good thing. You should never choose favorites when you're a parent. Even though you might like a child better than another one, you know, every day you need to wake up and you need to thank God for your family, for every one of them individually. Say, you know, I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my three daughters, every single one of them. And that helps me realize each of their uniqueness, how each one of them are just as valuable as the other. We're all equal in Christ Jesus. And you need to be very careful that you don't choose favorites when you're a parent and in your family relationships, whatever it may be. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Some of you needed to hear that. You can go home. That would be it. That would be like the best thing ever. Okay, so recognize your own uniqueness. Number four, refocus on living for the audience of one. So the focus is put on someone else when we compare ourselves. The focus is put on something else, perhaps. And the problem is that they're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. He's the one who died on the cross for you. He's the one who loves you. And we need to begin to refocus. It's all about how you look at things. It's all about your outlook that determines your outcome. And you need to begin to focus on these things. John 21, 21 through 22 says this. Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord? What about him?" And that's what we do sometimes. When we're following Jesus and we want to be all that God wants us to be, we're like, well, what about brother so-and-so over here? What about sister and so-and-so? You know, what about them, Lord? And then listen to Jesus' reply. Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that for you? As for you, follow me. And I want you to circle those two words, follow me. That's what Jesus wants us to do. It's about a real, personal, practical relationship with Jesus. We're not talking about a cold, dead religion here. Jesus didn't make it very hard. He made it very simple, and he just said, follow me. It wasn't about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Jesus just said, follow me. He made it clear. That's what he wants, that kind of relationship with us. How do you follow Jesus? Well, this is real profound. I don't know if I came up with this or not. I'm sure I heard it somewhere else. Works for me. I hope it works for you. How you follow Jesus? One step at a time.
That's right.
Just do it one step at a time. All of us have another step closer that we can take to God. What is the next step you need to take closer to God? I like to call it next steps. Let me share with you how we do it here at Integrity. That very first step is know Christ. And that's the most important step. Know Christ. Follow Jesus. Trust Jesus. That relationship with Christ, that's what it's all about. That's where it all starts. That first step of faith. When you decide to follow Jesus with your entire life, you don't care what anybody else thinks. You don't care about what anybody else says. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, you love Jesus so much, the very next step you want to take is to be baptized. And we're having a baptism here on June 26th, a great opportunity for you to let everyone know, hey, I'm now a follower of Christ. And I want to be baptized, and I want to let other people know that. I want to invite my family and friends to be there for that. And then that next step would be join our family. That's what we like to call it here. And we have this Integrity Church orientation that we like to call Connect Class that we offer from time to time. We're having another one, I think, July 17th. But if you're not connected to a church family like ours, you know, or ours, then you're an orphan spiritually. And God wants all of us to have a spiritual fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters in Christ. That next step would be get connected. And we like to talk about here at Integrity, try a community group, try a ministry team. Give it a try. Find out where you connect. And just try that out and find a place that works for you. Okay? And that's a wonderful thing. And we have something called The City that we're going to share with you here in just a moment about how that's going to help you get more connected. That next step after getting connected might be, what does it say there? Volunteer. And there's always opportunities to volunteer here, like at Laola Orphanage in Mexico. I think there's some people that are going to be going there later this year. Other reach projects that we have here at Integrity that you can get involved in. Get involved. It'll change your life. It's life-changing stuff when you begin to volunteer in ways right here in Integrity, right here in Alamance County. We have all kind of opportunities. Always check your what's up and see what your next step is. And you just walk with Jesus, and you continue to stay connected, and you keep volunteering and be who God's created you to be. And then you know what? One day, you're going to take that last step. And then it's like, woo, yeah, you're going to be before God, and God's going to say, enter in, good and faithful servant. And then it really will be celebration time. But it all starts with that first step and knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. What step do you need to take? Where are you in your faith journey? You're going to hear me talking a lot about this in the next year. And I'm going to be really encouraging you guys to take your next step closer to God. This is a good way to look at it. Everything we do here at Integrity Church is to help you and help everybody around us together grow closer to God and to help people take their next step closer to Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Okay? And I hope that helps you, and I hope that's an encouragement to you. Circle, in your outline this morning, circle that next step that you need to take. If you don't know what step you need to take, pray about it. Ask one of our staff or one of our elders, or talk to someone else about it, a trusted Christian friend, and circle it and talk to them about it. And we can help you. We can help you take your next step. All right? So write it down on your connection card, and we'll be an encouragement to you. We'll help you with that, help you work through it. and we'll grow together. That's what it's all about. Now, we're going to share with you a video right now called The City. There's this new thing going on around Integrity Church called The City. And what The City is it's an online tool that's been crafted just for us, that where we can go and we can stay connected, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. And we can build deeper community, and you can know all things Integrity. Okay, we haven't got it all figured out yet, but we have a lot of people that have signed up already, staff and a lot of our ministry leaders. How many of you have signed up for The City already? Okay, that's a pretty good group, about half of us. So we're actually going to have an opportunity for you to sign up this morning if you want to. But before we do that, we want to show you this video. It's about 6 minutes. Listen to it closely as you learn more about this tool that God has given us to help us take our closer walk with the Lord.
Your church has a mission, and The City helps you accomplish it by giving you a single, unified platform that enables everyone in your church to participate in the day-to-day life and ministry of your church. The City was built specifically for the church, so it's full of features that help each person in your church fulfill their unique role. Meet Pastor Will. He's preparing his sermon for Sunday and wants people to start engaging with the scripture he'll be teaching from. When he writes his message, it's posted in The City and sent by email, so everyone in the church will see it. But communication in The City doesn't just go in one direction. It's interactive. So when people respond, Pastor Will can reply right then and there, even directly from email, to answer questions, guide the discussion, or provide more resources. Of course, while Pastor Will writes his sermon, other plans are being made for Sunday too. On his lunch break, Chris uses The City to connect with other volunteers and schedule setup for Sunday morning. At the same time, Emma makes sure the musicians have the set list and sheet music to rehearse the songs they'll be leading on Sunday. And then there's Miranda, who's getting everything prepped for children's ministry by following a few simple steps to get the event on the calendar, schedule volunteers, and book the appropriate rooms. When the church gathers on Sunday, The City makes it easy for parents to check in their children, with minimal staff oversight required. Returning parents simply scan the barcode card they've associated with their City account and select which children they're checking in. First-time check-in for new families like the Smiths is easy too. They just provide their contact info and basic information for their daughter. Then they scan the barcode from one of the cards in Lila's wallet to streamline next week's check-in. An alert for Zoe's peanut allergy is printed on her name tag, reassuring them that Zoe will be safe and secure until they come back to pick her up. After the service, Miranda will use The City to quickly send a follow-up message to every family that attended to reinforce what their children learned, provide additional resources, and thank them for coming. The Smiths and other parents who checked in for the first time will automatically be invited into a group where they can interact with children's ministry leaders and other parents. Remember Chris, who leads the setup team? After the service, he met Conrad, who's new in town and wants to join a community group. Chris takes him to a City kiosk where he walks him through sign-up and explains that he'll be added to a connect group in the city, where a volunteer from the church will help him find a community group. Soon, Allison gets a notification that Conrad's looking for a community group. Since she can see exactly what he's looking for in a group, she filters the results on the City group map to find just the right group. And when she finds a good fit, she connects Conrad with the leader. Which brings us to Israel. He's excited to be introduced to Conrad and invites him to join his community group in the city. Conrad can see right away that this is where the members of Israel's group interact in life and ministry all throughout the week. He sees an event Israel created to invite the whole group to a neighborhood cookout he's planning for Friday evening. This looks like fun. So Conrad RSVPs and says he'll bring a side dish. He'd also like to invite some of his friends who he's been sharing the gospel with. Since Israel shared the event to the City Plaza, Conrad can post it to his Facebook account and share the invitation with his friends. He also sees an urgent prayer request Emma posted in the city. He's amazed how quickly everyone responded in prayer and how easy it was for Emma to keep everyone updated. He's also impressed that other people were able to organize ministry in response to the specific needs of the family in crisis. As he explores the group, Conrad can see that this community is serious about following Jesus. And even though he hasn't met them all yet, he's already feeling like he belongs. With another week of ministry in full swing, Pastor Will takes some time to evaluate how everything's going. The city makes that easy by giving him timely insights into the vitality of his church. At a glance, he can measure the effectiveness of his communication and see how many people are connected and engaged in the community of his church. The city also allows his people to update their own personal information in the city, giving him a complete profile of his congregation and a reliable database without having to commit staff hours to keeping the data current. Since the city makes it easy to delegate administrative permissions and security levels, Pastor Will can get a quick glimpse into the generosity of his church without having to learn all the intricacies of financial administration. Of course, reviewing the week's giving reminds him that he may have forgotten to write a tithe check on Sunday. Thankfully, the city has that covered too. A quick look at his giving page shows a full history of what he and his wife have given. And instead of having to write a check, he can give online. To make things even simpler in the future, he'll schedule a reoccurring donation so he'll never risk forgetting again. With all the city is helping his church accomplish, he thinks he might sleep a little better tonight, right after he finishes writing next Sunday's sermon. The mission of your church isn't limited to any particular day or ministry or person. The city helps you enable the whole life ministry of your whole church so you can accomplish your mission.
All right, so all we're really asking for you to do today is, if you're not already signed onto the city yet, is to go back here to one of our laptops that are on our booths back here, okay? Some of our staff, some of our ministry leaders will be back there behind the booth to help you sign on. All you need is an email. Just sign your name, your email, and then you click invite me, and then an email is sent to your email, and then later today or whenever you get a chance this week, you can finish the signing up process, take a tour of the city, just enjoy hanging out in the city and doing all that good fun stuff there. And the giving piece, we don't have that set up yet. That's completely confidential and anonymous anyway. I wanted to make sure and point that out. I didn't do that in the first service. But anyway, this is going to be a great way for us to stay connected and build deeper community, all right? So we'd love for you to sign up for that. We'd love to help you with that. If you don't have an email, we have some guys here over the next couple of weeks that can help you get one set up for free. Okay, we can help you do that. And there's some other things that we're going to help you with too later on down the road. But all we'd like for you to do today is just kind of check it out, you know, and sign up and see what you think about it, okay? And if you got any other questions or anything else, just put it on your connection card. Let's commit this to God in our time together, and let's just close in prayer right now. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful time of worship that we've had together here today. God, just thank you for so many family and friends that are gathered together here, and God, that just love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, help us to love you even more. Help us to love one another more. God, I pray that this city experience will be a positive experience for all of us to connect closer, to grow deeper in our relationship with you and in our relationship with one another. God, just thank you for what you're doing here. God, help each and every one of us. Empower us. Holy Spirit, just pray that you would just pour out your Spirit on us and strengthen us to take that next step that we need to take that's closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Make sure to drop off your connection cards in the box as you leave today, and along with the tithes and offerings from our regulars. Have a good week.